Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella, welcoming you to the BBS production of TNT Radio, your net radio source for news. Oh boy, that was a terrible introduction, wasn't it? How about if I try that again? How does this sound? Watch this, folks. Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella, welcoming you to the BBS production of TNT Radio, your net radio news source. Yeah, I like that better, but I don't feel that good. That was a big act. It really was a big act. Anyway, I thought I'd entertain you a little bit. Seems to be the style of today's radio news is entertainment. And I'm running out of entertainment, folks. At the end of February, I'm giving up net radio. Let's see, February 24th is my last Woodland Star show, and February 29th is the last time that I'll be doing the TNT radio show. So all of this is kind of up in the air. Those are the absolute last dates, but anything can happen between now and then. Things change, and Jill and I are moving to Prattville, Alabama. I have a wonderful opportunity to get involved with a horse ranch. And so I'm going to be doing a lot of that. Actually, I'm going to be living on the horse ranch. My nephew is purchasing one, and it looks pretty good. So I guess Jill and I will become the official old caretakers of the horse ranch. I have no idea what the name of the ranch is going to be. I guess they have yet to pick that out. Let's see, I know the show is late today for whoever is listening, but we will get a full show in, I think. It depends on how well I'm doing. Right now, not so good. Let's see, what's going on in the news? You probably are tuning in to listen to news, right? Are you watching DVDs? How do you get them? Do you march over to the store and go rent your DVD, your most recent great movie to watch? Or are you one of the folks who gets it in the mail? Well, guess what's about to happen, folks? DVD rental online is going up. I don't know if you're aware, but about a year, maybe 2 years ago, Blockbuster came online, and I knew then that they would give Netflix a heck of a run for their money. And they tried, but they're really having trouble. And Blockbuster has been in this kind of like advertising war with Netflix. Advertising, you know, special deals and so on and so forth. Well, guess what? Blockbuster may raise their prices by as much as 40% on some customers. And that's going to be a tough one. I don't know how the hell they can possibly compete with that. However, everything is going up, along with Wall Street. Wall Street keeps going up. It closed out today almost 200 points up, which is rather amazing, considering everything else is going down. Now, that should tell you a story, folks. Corporate America wins when the American consumer loses, or the American producer loses. Or the American family loses, corporate America wins. It's the kind of society we live in. You can't have a winner unless you have a loser. Wall Street will continue to win up, up until a certain point. When all of a sudden Wall Street figures out that the majority of money they make comes from the lower end of the middle class. That's right. That is correct. You know where all the money comes from? From all the nickel and dimes that go into fast food and lower middle class folks live and thrive on fast food, fast everything. Fast food, fast women, fast whiskey, and fast news reporting. How's that? You used to be able to buy a loaf of bread for a nickel. Speaking of nickels, as in Nickelodeon, surprise, surprise. Guess what Nickelodeon is about to get involved in. They're going to do a special on teen sex. I think it's a darn good idea. I thought that Nickelodeon would become involved in it. You know, they're a little bit prissy, but they are. Well, I don't know if the special has been established yet. They are in the talking phase of it. And I think it's a very good idea because they're going to do a special on teen sex and teen pregnancy. Make sure I say that. Well, there are some special things going on in the world, one of which, same old story, you've heard many times before, global warming. Well, why am I bringing up that old chestnut? I had an interesting communication this morning with one particular individual, very, very involved in global warming, and so I thought it would be kind of a good idea to read to you a post that I made. I very rarely read my own post on a TNT board, but I'm going to read this one. It's a good post. Global warming. Gaia changes her climate without notice to her residents, and she is quite capable of doing it in a very abrupt manner. There is no argument among scientists that this happens, but there is sure plenty of argument regarding what causes climate change. Now, for an extensive review of the process involved in climate change, you might take a look at the website by Spencer Wirt. Now, folks, Dr. Wirt is the director of the Center for History of Physics of the American Institute of Physics in College Park, Maryland. He has done an enormous amount of study and collection of data on the entire global warming issue. By the way, his original doctorate was in physics and astronomy, and he switched over to the history of science. Now, his website is extremely detailed. It has a gargantuan amount of references and data. Now, that in itself sort of is descriptive of the problem. Global warming is very complex. There are no easy answers to any of this. People would like to think there are. You know, I mean, everybody thinks they're a damn expert, especially on a TNT board. Truthfully, we got some really pompous asses on that board. But never let it be said I was without an opinion. And they are. I mean, they really believe they have answers. Folks, no one has the answers to this, including Dr. Wirt. There are no answers because the problem is extremely complex. We live in a complex world. Now, there's three primary issues of contention regarding climate change. Now, the first one is whether or not CO2, carbon dioxide, is actually increasing in the atmosphere due to human activity. Now, carbon dioxide is constantly being poured into the atmosphere by us. I mean, that's what we exhale. But is it increasing to such a point that is creating a problem? So that's the first issue. The second issue is it responsible for causing climate change? You've heard of the greenhouse effect? Well, that's what this is all about. You know, like you sit in the cab of a truck on a winter day and the sun is shining and you start getting really hot inside? That's the greenhouse effect. Now, if the CO2 is increasing, causing kind of a glass effect around the planet and the sun banging on it, you get global warming. But is it, in fact, happening because of CO2? So let's review that. Whether or not CO2 is increasing in the atmosphere, and number two, is it responsible for causing climate change? Now, the third issue, are we on the cusp of a sudden change? Well, Dr. Wirt concludes that it is very likely that significant global warming is coming in our lifetime. This surely brings a likelihood of harm widespread and grave. The few who contest these facts are either ignorant or so committed to their viewpoint that they will seize on any excuse to deny the danger. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to respond to his conclusion. And the reason is simply that the evidence, you know, the evidence that we use, how we look at global warming, is not all that clear. Are we on the cusp of it? You know, I don't think anybody would disagree that when they go step outside, they feel like something has changed, something is different, and the weather is not quite right. Yes, we all agree to that. But is that something that's been occurring in the past 2 years, the past month, the past week, or the past 300,000 years? Wow, you know, there is just no way to absolutely affirm and say this is undeniable. It's not like one of those studies where you can mix sodium and chloride together and always be able to predict your result. Which for all the smart asses on TNT message board is called SALT. Global warming just is not that simple. Now, I've been in communication with Dr. Wirt, and we are kind of in agreement with each other on many issues, and I, along with him, I have, from as I look at the data, as I look at the information, I can't help but think in terms of, yes, a change is coming. What's causing it? I don't have a clue. It could be anything. I'm probably a little bit more inclined to think that the change is due to a cycle rather than the greenhouse effect. I cannot say to you I have specific evidence for this because no one has evidence either way. They have supporting information. That's all they have. And there's certainly a lot of compelling information out there which suggests that the data is easily manipulated. Boy, if you really want to get your head filled with what can be done with data, take a look at Michael Crichton's book, The State of Fear. I mean, he lays it out pretty clear. And it's not only a novel. He presents in the back of the book lots and lots of his original data, and that's how he put the story together. He actually went and pulled the graphs out. You know, what has actually happened in the environment over time? Has the temperature changed? Well, the temperature changes all the time, but a significant it's now warmer, or it was warmer and now colder. Damn, folks, it depends on where you start. Yeah, that's right. It depends on where you first plot your graph. Because no climate, regardless of even if it's showing a shift in either direction, is steadily changing. You know, it's not like a constant every second change. The change goes up and down, but over time. Hold on, folks. Hello? Speaking. Listen, I'll have to call you back, okay? I got another call. I'm sorry about that, folks. I had a call come in on my cell phone, and actually it was from people who want me to go to work. I know what it is. And it's kind of dull work. I really don't want to do it. Anyway, back to global warming. Michael Crichton makes a very good argument for saying or suggesting that the data that has been looked at can be interpreted just about any way you want. So, can I make a conclusion about global warming? The only thing I can say to you is that I believe it's happening. What's causing it? I believe, remember, I'm using the word believe. I'm not saying I know. I believe it's probably due to a cycle. And the Earth goes through, has gone through many, many cycles. to me, this seems to be another one. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who are going to say, oh, no, you know, it's a greenhouse effect and so on and so forth. Well, you know, most of the people who say that kind of stuff, all they're doing is repeating like puppets what they've heard. They don't really actually look at the data. Or they do some silly in-house experiment which demonstrates nothing but stupidity. It's unbelievable what people will try to get you to believe based on their glib tongue. Don't fall for it, folks. Now, why is it important to think in terms of global warming and what might happen? Well, if global warming does happen, and there is an abrupt climate change, and we have all decided not to believe that it was going to, we might not take any precautionary measures. That could make a heck of a mess. I mean, around the planet, it could make a heck of a mess. What I'm saying is that it's worth the time and effort, because the problem, if it does exist and it does happen, is so dramatic and so disastrous that we're better off risking that we're making an error in terms of we saying that we believe it's going to happen and it really didn't. So if it really doesn't happen, we don't lose too much. But if we believe that it's not going to happen and it does, and make no preparation, we've lost a lot. So it's time to actually do something to prepare. I don't think there's any way of preventing it. And I think Dr. Wirt would agree with that, that it's way too far down the road. Whether it's due to greenhouse effect or whether it's due to a cycle, there's no way to prevent this. But you can do things up, especially in Africa, because if it occurs, that's where it's going to get hit the hardest. And talk about starvation. We're going to have, I mean, yeah, you've seen nothing yet. If this climate goes through the change that's being predicted, we're talking about starvation beyond belief. Dr. Wirt has agreed to be a guest on the Woodham Star Show. So sometime in January, I think, I really haven't gotten this nailed down. Sometime in January, I'll get him on the show. And we'll do a discussion. Okay, to the TNT board, and the Lakota Indians are getting ready to secede from the Union. Is that cool or what? I can't think of anything cooler. Yeah. Are they? Will they? I don't know. But it sounds like fun. Actually, it'll be my entertainment for a while. It was a sad day when Quebec backed off. That was going to be my entertainment for a long, long time. And the son of a guns wouldn't do it. You know, I really thought they were going to secede from Canada, and they didn't do it. However, the Lakota Indians, who gave the world legendary warriors Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse, have withdrawn from treaties with the United States. Quote from their leaders, "We are no longer citizens of the United States of America, and all those who live in the five-state area that encompass our country are free to join us." Long-time Indian rights activist Russell Means told a handful of reporters and a delegation from the Bolivian embassy gathered in a church in a rundown neighborhood of Washington for a news conference. A delegation of Lakota leaders delivered a message to the State Department on Monday, announcing they were unilaterally withdrawing from treaties they signed with the federal government of the United States. Some of them are more than 150 years old. They also visited the Bolivian, Chilean, South African, and Venezuelan embassies and will continue on their diplomatic mission and take it overseas in the coming weeks. Lakota country includes parts of the states of Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming. The new country would issue its own passports and driver's licenses, and living there would be, whoa, tax-free, folks, provided residents renounce their U.S. citizenship. You know, this could happen. I mean, this could really happen. What does it mean? Well, it means a lot of entertainment for me. That's what it means. I'm totally blown away by it. Do I want to see it happen? Well, sure, why not? Everything's worth a try. Would there be people who would renounce their U.S. citizenship? Yeah, I'm sure there would be. But what would really actually happen? You better believe that the federal government would do something, you know. Never underestimate the stupidity of government. Remember Waco? Believe me, it could happen again, this time with the Indians. Don't ever, ever forget Waco. A little more. The treaties signed with the United States are merely worthless words on a worthless paper, the Lakota Freedom activists say on their website. The treaties have been repeatedly violated in order to steal our culture, our land, and our ability to maintain our way of life. The Reborn Freedom Movement says withdrawing from the treaties was entirely legal. This is according to the laws of the United States, specifically Article 6 of the Constitution, which states that treaties are the supreme law of the land. It is also within the laws on treaties passed at the Vienna Convention and put into effect by the United States and the rest of the international community in 1980. We are legally within our rights to be free and independent. Well, folks, you're about to find out. Well, I guess we're all about to find out. Are they free and independent? Nope. Are you free and independent? Nope. I mean, you just try to fart wrong, folks, and let me tell you, the federal government will be on you like a dirty dish rag. You better believe it. They will come and get you. How bad can they get? Will they just monitor you? Will they just put a tap on your phone? No, they will kill you, folks. They will shoot you dead. Boom. That's the one thing about the United States government. It will do anything to protect itself, including killing its own citizens. I don't doubt it for one bit. Although I am not a conspiracy theorist, I do believe that the federal government, Washington, D.C., all the cronies, the congressmen, the president of the United States, the vice president, and all his underlings are very willing to... You're dead. They will. They will do it, folks. Believe me, it's very real. I'm going to kind of like hang around and watch if this occurs. I might dig into it a little bit further. Maybe I'll have something for you next week on the news. I would love to be able to talk to those people. You know, like maybe go over to North Dakota and sit down and find out what's actually going on. You know what? If enough people get involved, I mean, it could get out of hand. It could also get very bloody. I know the federal government. You better believe it. I mean, they'll start shooting. They will take you out in a hurry. Anyway, let's get on to the next one, which is really, really strange. Now, I'm going to first of all present the name, David Icke. Okay? And for Looney Tunes out there, it's not Icky, it's Ike. That's how you pronounce I-C-K-E. It's pronounced Ike. Now, David Icke has been around for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, he used to do quite a bit of reporting on the Art Bell Show. Yeah, he was on the Art Bell. He used to, I mean, going back, especially into like the early, mid-90s, he did a lot of talking on Art Bell. So what is David Icke all about? Well, what he is about, mainly, is shape-shifting. Seems like I do that all the time when I go on a diet, right? Nah, he's talking about, I don't know how to put this, what he's talking about are creatures, essentially lizards, okay, reptilians, who can look very human. They can shift their shape. Don't say that too fast. They can shift their shape and look like humans. But some people have a remarkable talent for being able to see through the human veil that they're covered with. Now, David Icke has been talking about this for a long, long time. And most recently, there was an excerpt from his book put on a TNT board by Zany Mystic. And it's from his book called The Biggest Secret, concerning shape-shifting reptilians. Now, I'm going to make a little quote here. Quote, in a remarkable period of 15 days, as I traveled around the United States in 1998, I met more than a dozen separate people who told me of how they had seen humans transform into reptiles and go back again in front of their eyes, end quote. Well, kind of amazing, right? I mean, absolutely amazing. But what is amazing to me is the responses to this post. Believe me, I'm going to catch you all up on my amazement in a second here. Let's get to the first reply, okay? And this first reply is from Doug, whom I know quite well. And Doug says, does anyone really believe this? Question mark. You know, and I know Doug. He's saying it rather sarcastically. Now, there's a second reply from Adeline to Doug's reply, does anyone really believe this? And she says, no. Now, does anyone actually believe this? Well, I'm assuming that there are people that actually believe it. Because David Icke does sell a lot of books. I've heard him on the radio. He makes some very convincing arguments. Do I believe him? Nah, probably not really. It's a little bit tough for him, but I'm not a metaphysical person to begin with. So let's be start at that level. What amazes me about the replies is that people are kind of like demonstrating a form of metaphysical bigotry. Yeah, metaphysical bigotry. In other words, it's kind of like, if you say to somebody, do you believe in God? Most people are going to say, well, yeah, sure, there's this, you know, God thing. Well, who's God? You ever meet him? Why do you believe in such an event? Do you believe in angels? Do you believe in devils, demons? How about magical crystals? How about communication with the dead? How about communication? How about communication between people without any form of, you know, like physical means, you know, telepathy? Man, this is all woo-woo stuff. What gets me is that people will sarcastically say, well, who's going to believe in shape-shifting of lizards? And yet, the same person has their own bias in the metaphysical world. You know, they might be someone who believes in talking with angels or communicating with celebrities who are dead. It's amazing. I'm absolutely amazed. Well, what about David Icke and his book and the shape-shifting reptilians? Are they for real? I don't know. In my world, I sort of doubt it, but I have those same doubts about angels, devils, crystals, communication with the dead, telecommunication, telekinesis, and so on and so forth, and the whole nine yards of the woo-woo world. You know, I've got my doubts about all of it. I certainly don't, quote, believe it. I don't absolutely believe that there's this Godhead. I don't absolutely believe that people can actually communicate with the dead. You know, like communicating with celebrities that are dead. I mean, I could poke all kinds of fun at that. Why poke fun at a guy who believes that there are shape-shifting lizards? Maybe because it sounds funny. I don't know. I think it's really, really weird. But, you know, right there's a wonderful example of the biases that occur in the woo-woo world, the metaphysical woo-woo world. And this one is, the title of this is called Unheeded Angelic Warnings. Now, this was posted on December 19th by Robert Alfred Darby. Now, he's not writing this. I'm pretty sure he's making a post. Where he gets it from, I'm not sure, but essentially, it says, unheeded angelic warnings, evacuate and abandon the International Space Station now. consider the evidence. Let wisdom reign this holiday season. Okay, now, what he's saying is that there's some dire stuff going to happen, you know, out in outer space due to things going on. You know, I mean, a lot of it he gets from Zeta Talk, okay? Now, I got to read to you Zeta Talk from the Godlike Production Live. This was written on December 1st. This was in a live chat. Question. Lots going on with the space station with the adding of several labs very soon. Good chance for a Zeta prediction. How about it? Answer. Of course the ISS will not survive what is coming just when it will be destroyed by the debris in the tail of Planet X. We will not say, but this is inevitable. Another excerpt. Certain death on the International Space Station lies ahead for any who would remain there during the coming weeks. This is the analysis based on the current path of Planet X. Well, okay, folks. You know, I mean, obviously we're talking about, this is probably coming from Nancy Leader, okay? And she's very much a believer in Planet X, along with a lot of other people. What gets me? Is it woo-woo? Yeah, absolutely. To me it is. Do I believe in Planet X? Why should I? I mean, at what level would I believe in it? I don't believe in any of the other stuff. Why would I believe in Planet X? But here's a primary example of what I've been talking about in terms of bigotry. This is where the pompous people come in. Reply. Now, here's the reply. Abandon hope, all ye who enter herein. Now, this is by Lancifer. This is his response to unheeded angelic warnings. Now, let me read his post. I believe it to be very pompous. Quote, scary stuff from elsewhere may or may not impact our collectively feeble attempt at going into space. Gee, isn't this a movie plot from the 80s? Bow your heads collectively now and repeat after this space dentist dude. Quote, we shall not go where we are told not to, end quote. And don't forget to flog yourself and make loved ones with rowan branches. What? Okay. Make wine with the berries if you have that sort of affiliation. And the believers continue. Very pompous reply. How the hell does he know if there's a Planet X or not? This guy doesn't know anything more than you or anyone else, folks. It's all based on bias and belief. And those kinds of remarks on the TNT board are uncalled for. The TNT board is supposed to be information. This isn't providing information. This is providing opinion. Pompous opinion. With no more basis than there is for a basis of Zeta Talk Planet X. More pompous opinion. See, that's what people do who know very little. It's called shallow brooks are noisy. Yeah, you ever hear that before? Shallow people are also very noisy. How can you possibly make a reply to so sarcastically regarding Planet X when there's no way to know? You can't prove a negative. You can't say it's not there. You're going to say that it is. But that's what I find the TNT board to be sometimes, is a gathering of pompous people who think they know something. They know very little. Now, and good for him, Robert Darby actually replies to the reply of his original post. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. You know, I've been very reluctant to do so on the board. I did my best to try to make it an information board. And as Darby is using it, a board of information. As Zany Mystic is doing, a board of information. They're simply going through the net and putting information down, and now it's up to you to decide what you want to do with it. But some people just can't help but be arrogant and a pompous ass. and belittle everything that's being done on the board by people who are working very hard to make it a board of information. I suggest these pompous people go find arguments elsewhere. If it were me, if it were up to me, I would simply delete. Yeah, I would, but I'm not in that position. While I do have access to a delete button, I won't do it. The board is not being taken care of very well. It should be a board of information, not a board of stupid opinion. Let's get on to what's next. I was going to go back to Darby. Okay. This is his response. Beware the debunkers. I believe that at some future time, all knowledge will become available to incarnate residents of planet Earth. Presently, as can be seen by the efforts of the many debunkers, that is unfortunately not the case. Most of the living are just plain ignorant. Each student must study the evidence and decide what and who is believable and who is a believable source of information. Consider the Zeta Talk word as being an aid in obtaining accurate information concerning many historical events. Well, you know, and he goes on to point out what has been accurate and what hasn't, and that's really not necessary. I think he makes a very good case when he says each student must study the evidence and decide what and who is a believable source of information. The TNT board is not a place to, you know, put down your one-liners, or are you just bored? I mean, you got so little life going on that all you can do is hit one-liners on a TNT board. Get a life, folks. And if you really want to do something on a TNT board, do some of the work. Instead of being a pompous ass, actually do some of the work, like Darby, who actually goes out there and finds stuff. Or Zany Mystic, who has spent a lot of time on that board. And then you get turkeys coming along who have nothing better to say than a sarcastic, stupid remark. That means absolutely nothing. They're no more believable than anyone else. Not at all. We should get on to Bubba Clinton and Poppy Bush. This is also from Zany Mystic. Actually, what this is a kind of condensing of what might occur should they get into the White House. Quote, first thing President Hillary will do is send two mass murderers out to repair the damage done to America's reputation, according to CNN. And who are these two criminals? None other than President Hillary's husband and Bush Sr. As you may recall, Bill Clinton is more or less the adopted son of the Bush crime family. Two criminals guilty of together killing well over 1 million innocent Iraqis, 500,000 of them children, will be sent as people around the world understand more than the American people do that these two guys mean business. Hey, you know what, folks? You know, for the Clinton supporters out there, I want to tell you, Waco. Remember Waco? You know, where they burned babies? That was under the Clinton administration. Fun stuff, huh? You don't know what you're going to get with the Clintons. In the White House, with the Clintons, anything can occur. Not only a BJ. Well, okay. On to... Where am I? I'm trying to... I think you're... Script is be afraid, be very afraid, and I don't know if that's necessary. Do I think Hillary Clinton stands a chance? Yeah, I think she stands a chance, but I really believe that the voting public is smart enough not to allow that to happen. What would happen if Hillary Clinton became president? Wow, you know what, folks? I think it would start getting very expensive. She's got to be one of the most expensive presidents we're likely to have. You know, I think Ron Paul is probably of all the candidates running, probably makes the most sense. She seems to be the most rational. And I think that's basically because what Ron Paul is saying is reduce the size of government. You know, get the government out of your house. Get the government out of your bedroom, number one. Get the government out of your pocket. Get the government out of making decisions for you. Ron Paul is, he's actually a libertarian with kind of in the disguise of a Republican. What actually makes him a Republican is that he does take a stance on abortion. If he didn't take that stance, if he did not take that stance, he would definitely be straight libertarian. And I admire the Libertarian Party. This is posted by Lancifer, at least according to CNN. Pretty weird. What he's talking about is Ron Paul, rest in peace. There's a video of Ron Paul, and this video is taken by Glenn Beck. Now, I went and looked at the video, and I gotta admit, it is really weird. And there's a subscript underneath the video going on, which says, Paul is dead, Paul is dead. This constant subliminal message running across the bottom of this video. And if you will go to the link provided by Lancifer, you'll see the video. Quote, I find it very offensive for Glenn Beck to be scrolling the message, Paul is dead, on the bottom of the screen during the interview with Ron Paul. I think he should make it clear that he wishes no ill will to Ron Paul. His interview, I thought, was fair on the surface, but he did take the interview into the typical conspiracy camp. I would like to know why this guy Huckabee thought it appropriate to make this statement that was scrolling by during this interview. Ron Paul was right in that the threat of the I'm not sure how to pronounce this. This should be neocons. The threat of the neocons taking over the government is a serious threat to our nation. In his statement of earlier in the day, he seemed a bit tired and unfocused when he was hit with these off questions. I might add that Paul was talking about domestic threats to our nation at the moment that Huckabee's death to Paul comments are scrolling by in this video. Folks, I don't even know how to comment on this because, you know, there's so much stuff on the net that is just absolute lies. I don't know whether what I just read is an absolute lie, whether it's all a big gimmick set up because somebody wants to put down Huckabee and Glenn Beck. Believe me, they put this shit together. They can't happen. They can put this shit together on the net. You would never know. You'd think it was real. All I can do is report it. I can just simply say it's there if you want to take a look at it. It's up to you to go any further. Now, in reply, Blacklisted News is your total resource for real, uncensored, daily world news information. Home news categories about the BLN search articles and so on and so forth. Well, I don't know. You could say anything you want about your news source, and this is that whole Ron Paul rest in peace thing. How do you know that this is reliable? How do you know that it's accurate? You don't. Also, coming out of the kind of the same area, Forbes says Bloomberg to spend big bucks to derail Ron Paul. This was published December 17th. You know, I have a hard time believing that Bloomberg would even care what Ron Paul was doing. First of all, Bloomberg could buy and sell many, many Ron Pauls. I don't know why he would even care. Because now you might say, because Ron Paul's message is so good and all Bloomberg could do is mimic the old-time politics. Let me tell you something, folks. Ron Paul has an excellent message. An excellent, excellent message. But unless something changes very drastically in terms of news reporting, such as getting some media attention, I seriously doubt Ron Paul will be president of the United States. I seriously, seriously doubt it. He is being hidden by the news. And I was just, if Bloomberg wanted to do anything, I guess he could derail him simply by owning all the news. Anyway, in response to Ron Paul, RIP, not according to this article. How do I read this? The mathematics are quite simple. More and more American presidential politics in 2008 is about one man, the limited government. By running under a free market constitutionalist banner, Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, has placed himself in opposition to seemingly every other presidential candidate and given the Washington power structure the shimmies and shakes. The recent mass donation day that just netted the candidate around $6 million or more in 24 hours is like the last straw. Now, folks, I got to tell you, I have never seen anything like Ron Paul before in the way of putting money together. I mean, in one day, this last go-around, $6 million? I mean, that is absolutely astounding. What I don't understand, and I'm not sure whether it's because Ron Paul doesn't have a good grasp of how to get the media attention. The guy can pull in $6 million in one day, but he can't, doesn't seem to be able to get the attention of mainstream media, other than for them mentioning it. But all they want to talk about is good old Huckabee. I don't know. I have no idea going about it. I'm certainly not a campaign expert of any sort. But, geez, you know, you would think a guy who pulled in $6 million in one day ought to hire a few consultants to see about getting more media attention. He really needs to do something. Could he even become the Republican candidate for president? What about a brokered convention? Yeah, that can happen. As such, with a low-tax, anti-war platform, Ron Paul would probably be difficult for any of the crop of Democrats to beat. No doubt all of these contingencies are being discussed at fairly high levels in the political establishment. Enter Mike Bloomberg, the founder and owner of the financial data and news company Bloomberg. Forbes says the mogul is contemplating spending up to 20% of his $11 billion fortune to run as an independent candidate for president. Wow. 20% of $11 billion fortune to run as an independent candidate for president. I mean, the numbers there start to, you know, kind of blow my mind. I have a hard time dealing with the concept of $11 billion. I have no idea what that means, folks. I mean, you know, start piling up $1 bills. What does $11 billion mean? I have no idea. An activist mayor, Bloomberg, has run New York City more or less from the left, banning smoking in bars and planning to tax residents and visitors exorbitant amounts of money to discourage them from driving into downtown Manhattan. He obviously sees the role of political leader as a transformative one. $2 billion can buy a lot of TV time and perhaps even drown out the increasingly successful message of Ron Paul. Would blitzing the airways with a mainstream message paper over Mayor Mike's fairly radical New York City political record, that may be what his backers are hoping. Well, nobody will say so. Bloomberg's candidacy, if it comes to pass, will likely be aimed, to begin with anyway, at Ron Paul. The more successful Ron Paul is, the more desperate his opponents are to stop him.
Hello?
I don't know, folks.
Anyone there?
Hello.
Dr. Nevin?
Yeah, who am I talking to?
Are you talking to Derek White, Skycloud?
I'm just talking.
I want to actually. You're sharing your story regarding Ron Paul.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Now I'm a Canadian citizen. I'm not an American citizen, but I'm a Canadian citizen. And if you, I'm not sure if you talked about when he's actually had mentioned about his. He wants to take the taxes and remove it completely, the federal taxes and remove it completely out of the government. Didn't your other so-called congresswoman actually said the same thing when she wanted to be voted as president? She wanted to take taxes out completely, and all of a sudden she turned her, all of a sudden there's some sort of a deal that changed, and she got her, you know, those sort of things happened to her. Suddenly she turned sideways and not actually forward.
Yeah,
remember that?
Right. Yeah, I sure do. And
where
as far
she actually about lowering taxes or taking taxes out completely, and all of a sudden, whoever she made a deal with suddenly, you know, I mean, think about it. There was, if you remember Michael Moore, when he did that
who
story.
Could forget Michael Moore. Yeah, I know Michael Moore very well.
Yeah, Well, I watched the program, and I liked his work. And I liked it where he actually, you know, when she basically herself, I'm not going to say who she is, everybody knows who she is, when she actually said that she was going to take federal taxes, abolish them completely, and all of a sudden everybody went into an uproar, got really upset, started picking on her. Then every politician, and including the news media, started picking on Michael Moore, kept saying he's a jerk and he's this, he's that, he's a liar, this and that. I get a funny feeling what's going to happen. They're going to start picking on Ron Paul, and they're going to find every dirty thing they can find to actually not have him involved in any kind of Congress, because this man is actually telling the truth. And they're afraid of him. So they're going to try everything they can.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. The powers that be, they are afraid of Ron Paul. There's no question about it.
Oh, definitely.
However, Ron Paul has got to do something about getting the message out, because right now it's not getting out there.
They're covering him, but keeping him from bringing anything up.
And there needs to be a much greater campaign from his direction getting the message out, because, boy, I'll tell you what, I watch both Fox and CNN all the time. You very rarely hear anything about Ron Paul. Listen, thank you for calling. I've got only a few minutes left, and I got to wind this show down. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Folks, let me get back on with this. I've only got a couple of minutes left here. I want to kind of close up the show by talking about Ron Paul and what he could do, okay? You know, if a person like Ron Paul could actually get in, if he could get past, you know, the powers that be, you would see some major changes in the United States, and for the good. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to have two chickens in a pot. It also means there's going to be some belt tightening, which has to occur. And Ron Paul is well aware of that. And one of the major things that I know Ron Paul wants to get away from is that private Federal Reserve, you know, the one owned by a private company. Folks, I got to go. Time is running out. Maybe in more ways than one, huh? Time has run out. Listen, I will see you on my Sunday show. Everyone have a great, wonderful holiday. Those that do not tune into Woodland Star, if you're only listening to TNT Radio, have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all. That's a wrap, Don.